Today on Real Life Radio.
He gives you time to know the word, so in the day of your visitation, you'll know it. You recognize the times and the seasons to build faith, to be strong, because God keeps his word. And so the new believer's covered, the old season saints covered, because God's faithful.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really, but it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star-Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled What We Know for Sure, Part 2. This series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why it matters in our lives today. You see, there are faith-building passages in the Bible that speak of the future with 100% accuracy. Knowing God's Word gives us the assurance that God is working toward an ending on earth and the beginning of eternity. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that Israel is God's prophetic time place. It's God's chosen nation, and it's not going to go away. We too must persevere, knowing that the Lord will keep us and sustain us to the end of our time here on earth. Now, with his message called What We Know for Sure, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 3, verse 1, Behold, the days are coming, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and I will enter into judgment with them on the account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have also divided up my land. Are you kidding me? This is 2,600-year-old prophecy. Are you guys awake? This is 2,600-year-old prophecy, and it looks like we're talking about a UN decision last week in the news. Divide the land, divide the land. Right there in the Bible. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens and who lays the foundation of the earth and who forms the human spirit within man declares this. I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding nations reeling. Judah will be as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations, all who try to move her. Will injure themselves. The word in Hebrew, injure themselves, it's a very sad thing. A lot of us can relate to this. The word means to go to something heavy. In this case, it's a rock. Can you imagine? It means in Hebrew to pick up the rock, and you're so committed to picking up the rock that you pick up the rock, but you rip your guts. The word is to rip your insides. You tear yourself apart. Have you ever seen those Olympic weightlifting guys? Why? Can you imagine? The world is going to have this mindset. We got to deal with Jerusalem. What's the fascination with Jerusalem? There's no oil there. There's no airport. There's no river. There's no nothing. But great food. Great food. Think of it. Makes no sense. The world's going to go like this. You're trying to move it. Get it out of sight. Let's just get it. Push it into the Mediterranean. And they pick it up and you can hear springs flying and gears popping and rip yourself apart if you try to move it, God says. Don't mess with them. God's got a plan, a remarkable plan. So much so, watch this, so much. This part I get really excited. Up until now, I've been, all right. Right now, I lose it over this. The only thing worse for me is to be in Israel when I teach this, what I'm about to say. I just lose control. It's amazing. If you're not a Christian today, you got like 5 minutes to enjoy yourself. Go ahead and think whatever you want to think, right? But honestly, if you have half a brain, you're going to become a Christian now in about 3 minutes. Because what you're going to see, if you don't, then you have to live with this. With what you are about to read, you're going to have to deal with it yourself. Seriously, watch this. There's no way you can explain this. This is a jaw dropper. Here it comes. On May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation because President Truman, an American president, went against all the deliberation and all the counsel of the nations of the world, and Truman said, no, we're going to recognize Israel as a nation. On May 14, 1948, Israel had a birthday. Listen. Saturday morning, on May 15th, Zionists proclaimed new state of Israel. Truman recognizes it and hopes for peace. Tel Aviv is bombed. Egypt orders an invasion. Happy birthday! Attack! Wow. Think of it. Next slide. Tel Aviv is bombed. U.S. recognizes Jewish state. Read the print below. Israel is proclaimed. Arabs march. Truman action stuns closing session of UN. Battle in Jerusalem. Egypt orders invasion. Sounds like you're reading Ezekiel. Except, thank God, by the time Ezekiel rolls around in his prophecy, Egypt will be a friend of Israel, as it is today, by the way. Saudi Arabia, a friend. Jordan, a friend. Egypt, a friend, exactly as the prophets foretold. Not only are the right nations lined up to invade, the right nations for the first time in history are lined up that support Israel in the region. That's not a coincidence. Here's the punchline. This is where, if you're going to get a tattoo, this is the one to get. It's a big one, but it's cool. And put it all down your back or something. This is 750 years old. Isaiah chapter 66. Before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, her children will be born. Would I ever bring this nation to the point of birth and then not deliver it? Asked the Lord. No, I would never keep this nation from being born, says your God. Israel was first born by being called out of Egypt in the wilderness wanderings and then eventually brought into the promised land by Joshua. Israel's second birth, prophesied in the prophet Isaiah, not only happened in 1948, it happened exactly as Isaiah said it would. In a mere moment, in one day, the nation would be brought forth. And in an instant, Jews from around the world would have a nation. That verse alone should dispel any doubt about the veracity and the ability of the God of the Bible to keep his word. And when he says to you, trust me and I'll take you to heaven. Trust me, I'll forgive you your sins. Look to me, I died on the cross for your grief and give you eternal life. Follow me and I'll take you straight into heaven. I'll give you purpose and meaning. I'm the God that made you and it's time to come back. The God that says that is the exact same God that keeps his word, keeps his promises. Exact same God. He's the same one. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 34, verse 13, and I will bring them out from the peoples or the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their, what is it? Own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. This is Israel. God says so. And then finally we end here. Number four argument is this, and it's a short one. It's all eyes to war. All eyes to war. Look, I struggle with this just as you do. And that is what's happening next. Biblically, we keep our Bibles open. I would stay tuned to Isaiah 17 and Ezekiel 38 at the same time. I'd be reading both those. Could happen tomorrow. Regarding the nation of Israel, it's been written. We know what happened to them. We know what's happening to them. And we know from the Bible what's going to happen to them. America is nowhere mentioned in the Bible. That brings me great pain and it brings me great hope. Number one, it pains me because our nation was very much used as a big brother to Israel's establishment the second time. This is a Judeo-Christian nation in its roots. This nation has been blessed in every category over every nation on earth in all of human history, including Israel itself. Freest people, freest constitutional government, greatest technologies, greatest military, greatest achievements. Did you know that you're sitting in the most compassionate nation on the face of the earth? No nation, no nation citizens give more to disaster relief and suffering than the United States year after year after year. God used this nation.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Once our federal budget of the United States government annually was to produce Bibles and ship them to nations in the world where there was no Bible. When soldiers went off to war in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, they were given Bibles. I have one. Oh, how the mighty have fallen, says the scripture. Where do we go from here? Watching what's happening. Is God waiting for his people to call out to him? Is God waiting? He's not waiting on any political party or some chess move by some political genius or some blunder to happen. And so he's not waiting for that. God is saying, if my people will call out to me, if my people will repent, he's calling out to us. Why is everything in limbo the way that it is? He's calling out to us. What is so undetermined? What's so confusing? There's nothing but confusion. In light of this last year past, all the dynamic, how do you explain the most bizarre year ever and yet all around the world, record numbers of people coming to Christ? What's up? And what's up for America? Well, I'm not an Einstein, but I can tell you this, based on God's word, there's no hope for America unless, no hope for America unless, in this order. Number one. The church stops playing games, stops goofing off, and starts teaching the Bible and living the life from the pulpit to the pew. Number two, it affects the home. A nation goes as a home goes, but a home doesn't know what to do unless the church steps up. It begins in the church. By the way, that's true in the Bible. It's true in sociology studies, and it's true in American history. The church has got to catch fire. That affects the family. Drunks stop drinking, abusers stop abusing, and womanizers and manizers and Budweisers stop doing that. And they make their home work. And then you know what happens? Then the community changes, and then the county changes, the state changes, and the nation changes. That's the only hope for America. God is not going to sprinkle pixie dust over America without being true to his pattern. The church is the ground and pillar of all truth, says the Bible. Why do you think churches are going through the struggles of their life right now? It's an attack on one side and it's a trial on the other. That's the only hope for America. If that doesn't happen, it's over. And God's showing us a little bit of hints what it's like when it's over. when he's left the building. This is a very critical time. Every guy in this room knows that when there's somebody weak on the playground, the bully takes advantage of the weak kid. Every single time. You want to stop bullying? Teach every kid how to defend themselves. Because bully is in the heart. You can legislate it all you want. It's never going to change a thing. You got to change the heart. Until hearts are changed, your kid's got to be able to protect himself. Because a bully will find the weak kid, because bullies are cowards. And there's a lot of coward nations out there right now. They're lunatics. They've got nuclear weapons and a match, and they don't know what to do, but they feel like they should do something. Nobody cares about them, so they want to make you care about them. Others have religious aspirations. There's going to be, listen, I'm not a prophet. In fact, Jesus said this way in Matthew 24:6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled by this. For all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. That the end of the world is not yet. That same chapter, by the way, read it later. Chapter 24, Jesus said, oh, and yes, there's going to be pandemics. Pandemics there is called pestilence, global sicknesses. Jesus said, oh, and yeah, and there's going to be lawlessness. He said, in fact, when the disciples, we're all done. When the disciples said, you can relax. You want to stand up? You should stand up. You've been sitting for, I can't keep going. That's very sweet of you, by the way, but the children's ministry, but I am ending. Here, listen to this. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? Three-part question. And the end of the world. And listen, Jesus did not say this. He did not say this first. He did not say, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He didn't say that first. Jesus did not say first, there's going to be earthquakes, big ones, all over the world. He didn't say that first. He did not say volcanoes. Keep your eye on volcanoes. He didn't say that first. He said that a couple of verses later. Volcanoes, earthquakes, pandemics. He said this too, but not first. Men will hate one another so much, their love will grow cold for humanity. And because of that, lawlessness will rule. Lawlessness will prevail. Nobody fears the law. People do what's right in their own eyes. He didn't say that first. You know what he said first? When they asked him, when are you coming back? And what about the end of the world? Jesus said the most important thing first. He said, let nobody deceive you. Many false Christs and many false prophets are going to come and seek to deceive you. Listen to this. I love it. He says, and if it were possible, deceive even the very elect. He said, if. One little word. He didn't say the elect are going to be deceived. He said the opposite. If it were possible. That means it's impossible. You ever freshman logic course? If it's not possible, then it's impossible. Amen. How could Jesus say that? Oh, it's easy. Because when this word is in you, this thing keeps you from being deceived by that invisible dark world. This right here. This is what does it. And God is so gracious with you and your journey, because when you start out, or if you're an old seasoned saint, you've been with Jesus for a long time, his grace sustains you through. But to whom much is given, much is required. As you grow older in Jesus, much less feelings, much more faith, because you're growing up. But when you're a new believer, it's all feelings and a little bit of faith, but faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, so watch this. You love being around new believers. They're awesome. You know somebody who gets saved? And it's like, oh my God, I just love the Lord. That's great. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. And they're so fun because they go, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray because I don't have a job. Yeah, you pray. Lord, I need a job. I'd like to have a good one. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then you go, that's nice. And then they call you the next day. Hey, I got a phone call. Some company called me up. They asked me what my name was. Hey, who is this on the other end of the phone? It's Bill. Bill, we're going to give you a job. We're going to pay you double. Okay. He hangs up. Praise the Lord. Have you noticed a new believer wherever they go? It's just like they pray. It's not God just goes, boom, there you go. Hang out with new believers. And I just sense the Lord. And an old seasoned saint goes, well, sense, I don't sense anything. What are you sensing? God is working in the journey in different levels with his grace, but if there's more of the word and he gives you time to know the word, so in the day of your visitation, you'll know it. You recognize the times and the seasons to build faith, to be strong, because God keeps his word. And so the new believer's covered, and the old seasoned saint's covered, because God's faithful. If you say to him today, forgive me of my sins, my guilt and my shame, I see that I've wronged people in my life, but I see now I've wronged you, God, most importantly. That the Bible prophecies first announce the Messiah would come, Genesis 3:15. That I need to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to be born again. Born new, born a second time. And I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the grave. And I'm going to put my trust in him. If today you agree with that, if you believe that, if you're willing to do that, right now, right where you're at, then welcome to the family of God. It's a decision that you make. God sees the decision in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and he begins to change you. It is a journey. It's not a sprint. It is a relationship. It's not the moment. But by all means, come to Christ. And I hope today you are given enough argumentation to keep you up all night if you say no. Because you've got to work out Israel. You've got to work out God's promises. You've got to work out God's enemies. You got to prove the Bible wrong. And good luck. If you can do it, you'll be the first person in human history to ever do it. So knock yourself out. Just don't die in that condition, because it's hell without him, I'm telling you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord God, we thank you that Jesus spared us from hell. We're not going there because you're good. We're not going there because you died in our place. We're not going there because you rose from the dead. We're not going there because you're coming back to pick us up. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What We Know For Sure, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.